This cold open is colder than the remote ice planet of Hoth.
Today we're talking about Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back, starring Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, Peter Mayhew, James Earl Jones, Frank Oz, Billy Dee Williams, David Prowse, Anthony Daniels, and Kenny Baker, directed by Irvin Kershner.
Welcome to the Cinema Talk Podcast.
Yeah, so we actually have all four of us here this time, so we have another person to attack Logan with.
Yes, I could not make it for the New Hope podcast. I listened to as much as I could, but Logan was tearing apart my childhood and my soul.
I'm not going to apologize for that last episode.
So that was brutal. But no, I will be on Floyd's side, probably even more so.
How was my Chewbacca?
We keep forgetting to introduce ourselves before we start the episodes.
Yes, I'm Ryan.
I'm Brendan.
I'm Matt.
I'm Logan.
Welcome to the Cinema Talk Podcast. Sponsored by no one. Please sponsor us. We need
that'd be cool.
Somebody sponsor us.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That would be cool.
Like Audible, I know you do that. MeUndies. I'll talk about that. Send me some free underwear.
Yeah. Could use some underwear. But they didn't contact us yet, so.
All right.
Soon.
Please.
But yeah. Alright, so I'll get in the plot summary and we can talk about this movie.
Nice.
After the destruction of the Death Star, the Imperials attacked the Rebel base and the Rebels were forced to go on the run. After a couple years, the Rebels end up on the snow planet called Hoth. Eventually, the Empire learns of the location of the Rebel base and attacks. The Rebels are able to escape, yet the Falcon, manned by Chewie, Han, Leia, and C-3PO, are tailed by the Empire. After seeing a Force vision of Ben on Hoth, Luke decides to go to the Dagobah system to be trained by the Jedi Master Yoda. There he finds Yoda and begins training to become a Jedi. The crew aboard the Falcon didn't have as easy a time escaping the Empire. The hyperdrive was damaged and our heroes are forced to hide in an asteroid field. Eventually, they escape by hiding in the trash of a Star Destroyer and decide to go to the nearby Cloud City to have the hyperdrive fixed of the Falcon. Han's old friend Lando Calrissian, the administrator of the city, decides to help them. During his training, Luke senses his friends in danger and leaves Dagobah to try to save them. It's eventually revealed that the Empire arrived just before Han and Leia, and they are taken captive. Han is sold to the bounty hunter Boba Fett and is frozen in carbonite. Luke arrives on Cloud City, only to be confronted by Lord Vader. Vader toys with Luke in a lightsaber duel and eventually overpowers him. In the ultimate plot twist, Vader reveals that he is Luke's father. Luke decides to jump off the edge of Cloud City rather than join Vader. Hanging from the edge of the city, Luke calls to Leia with the Force, and they save him. The Rebels regroup without Han, and the rescue plan to save him begins. And that is The Empire Strikes Back. Not directed by George Lucas this time. Instead, they brought in Irvin Kershner because probably not the greatest director.
Yeah.
Is it a coincidence that one of the best Star Wars films, Lucas had the least to do with it? Mm-hmm. Who can say?
Yeah. He wrote the story. He didn't write the script.
Yeah.
Lawrence Kasdan wrote the script, who also co-wrote Episode 7 and is writing Solo. So, gives us a little bit of hope for Solo, I guess.
Did not write Episode 8, though.
Yeah, didn't.
Facts.
We'll talk about Episode 8 one day.
Eventually.
Yeah, it's great.
Mm-hmm. In, like, a couple weeks.
Yeah. But, so this is new management, basically. Still Lucas behind it, but Kershner is really the one behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, I mean, I think it shows. I think there's the pacing is a lot better.
For sure.
And, like, watching this movie, I mean, towards the beginning, I was trying to think really what is different between this and A New Hope, and I think the pacing isn't really all that different. It's just that in the beginning of this one, there are stakes, and we know the characters, and we're waiting to see sort of, you know, the beginning, these long panning shots of, like, just of space and of Hoth, and we're, instead of just, like, waiting around for the movie to start, we're waiting to see what has happened to these characters that we knew in the last one. So it's suspense rather than boredom.
Mm-hmm. I disagree with the boredom.
I know you think it's not boredom, but it's...
Well, I think with Star Wars, though, compared to Empire, is that we already know these characters because we'd seen Star Wars.
Yes.
So, already knowing these characters, if this was the first movie, I think it would have been the same thing, waiting for the Empire.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Learning
definitely
who these characters are.
But this... I think Lucas in A New Hope tried to do something where it's... with the opening crawl, he loves the sort of in media res opening.
Yeah.
But I think he also tried to do that with the characters and, like, assuming that we already know the characters and we're going to be excited to see where they are. But, you know, like, the first movie in the series, you're not really, that's not how it happened. And, of course, if you know the lore, the now looking back and seeing that, it is different, but I don't think we can really judge it based on what it's become.
Yeah, what comes after. But I love this opening on Hoth. I love the opening with Luke on this Tauntaun, the probe droid, all of it.
Yeah.
Well done. Well shot, too. I believe this was Sweden or Norway. It was somewhere in Scandinavia.
The only reason I know that is because I know that, number one, the extras, none of them spoke English, so, like, all of the soldiers, they had to, like, dub it over later, and they taught them, like, some basic English phrases and things to say, but also, when there are some shots of after Luke gets out of the Wampa's cave, of him just kind of stumbling around in the show, those were, in the snow, not the show, those were all shot from... The crew was standing inside in the hotel lobby watching him stumble around in the snow.
I was about to talk about that.
Wait, for real? So
a lot of the shots of the snow was literally... There was just a blizzard outside in Norway in the hotel, and they were literally just throwing the actors out there, and just shooting it and closing the door.
That's fantastic.
Yep. Yeah, so Ford, Hamill, they kind of got shoved out in the snow and said, run around.
Yeah, basically. Now, I mean, are we going to talk about the fact that Mark Hamill got into a horrible accident before this movie, and just so happened in the first, 10 minutes to get his face scratched exactly where he would have been in that accident.
Yeah. Well, they had to explain it somehow.
Yeah, but Lucas says that, no, he would have, been hurt anyway, but I don't believe that for a second.
Maybe, but maybe the scratches were specifically added to the face.
That's fair.
But I believe that he might have been attacked the entire time.
For sure. I'm sure that opening was...
Because I was going to say they would have to completely rework the first 20 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
Which I don't think they would have done, but maybe. I mean...
Well, it wasn't until the remastered versions where more shots of the Wampa really added. Because it was just... He was in a giant costume wearing stilts, and it was, hard for him to, move around and stuff. So, they were like, well, we don't want super, wide shots of this because it looks ridiculous. Yeah. But, you know.
All the original theatrical had was just the hand coming down in the sound effects.
Also, something with the special effect in the beginning here, the Tauntauns...
They don't look very good.
Are we going to talk about the Tauntauns?
I thought they look fine.
Their running looks ridiculous.
Yeah, they're running. Yeah. It's sort of puppets.
The Tauntauns are the thing that attacked Luke.
No, that's the one.
Yeah, they ride them around.
Yeah. Okay. Did he add, because I've... Of the original trilogy, I've only ever seen them on VHS. I've only seen parts of them on DVD.
Jeez.
Because... Wow. I don't want to see the new special effects, and also I just watching it on this grainy VHS. And so I know that he's added a bunch of stuff. Did he
He probably has. I don't know. I just know in the okay. Well, I'm pretty sure I watched the remastered version.
Yeah.
And the Tauntauns they look terrible. They look god awful. It looks like some shitty claymation.
It was puppets.
And I can't imagine that was part of the remastered version. That had to have been...
No, they didn't touch that.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't look great.
I don't know. Maybe just because I'm used to seeing these movies, the special effects in this movie were awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Besides that.
In general, yeah. But, besides the Tauntauns, there wasn't... Oh, and the sandworm. Or not the sandworm, but the...
That looked fine.
The asteroid?
On the asteroid.
The space slug? I thought it looked fine. Forget the extra. I watched these. I'm watching these. I've seen the originals because my family actually has the one DVD that came out 15 years ago that has the original theatricals on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched the Blu-ray version for this because I don't know. I have it in Blu-ray.
Fair.
It looks great. Yeah. So, I don't know. I prefer to watch it any movie I can on the cleanest, nicest version available.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think all the shots of Hoth look awesome.
Yeah, they do.
All the panning shots. You can tell that this is, where this differs from the prequels, and that this was an actual location.
Yeah. And I think, I know, in New Hope, you had a problem with R2-D2 and CP3 are walking around in the desert for so long. And
yeah,
a lot of, like,
just to...
But I think, at least for me, that's one of the reasons why I love Star Wars so much, because they place you in the environment, and they spend so much time there that it feels like an actual place, and that's why it feels so fleshed out with all these different creatures, and that's why I love it so much.
Yeah.
Well, I will say I do think that 3PO and R2 definitely had more appropriate-sized roles in this one.
Getting shot and blown up in 3PO's case.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to the the Chewbacca and C-3PO's bit in the Cloud City
shenanigans. I think they had about the same role as they did as of Luke being introduced in Star Wars.
That's
like,
fair.
After the first half hour.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, they don't waste a half hour getting to Luke.
Yeah.
And they don't just focus on these characters for...
arbitrary characters.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, and also in this scene I want to talk, I love the first scene with Han and Leia on the base.
Oh my gosh, I love that part.
And how there's just the first hint of their theme playing in the
chemistry.
Background, which I only noticed this time. Yeah, and I'll talk about it, but I think the dialogue in this movie is so good.
It's
really
so much
well
written. So good. Han Solo is fantastic throughout all these movies, but I think in this one he is the greatest.
I think this is his best.
And, definitely. I mean... one of the greatest characters of all time, in my opinion. And just played so well. The chemistry and the lines are just so hilarious and classic.
I think this is honestly probably Ford's best performance of his career.
Yeah.
He's so good at this.
So good.
And the lines are perfect for him. His chemistry with Carrie Fisher is really good. You can tell that this is pre-Carrie Fisher going off the deep end, which you can kind of...
Was this during her going off the deep end. No, I'm saying, was this pre or post-affair?
It happened through
all three movies.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, who knows? But there's no actual confirmation that it happened.
Right. Well,
they've never talked about it. But
well, I wouldn't.
Yeah,
Harrison wouldn't. I wouldn't see Harrison admitting to it.
Yeah, I could see him. I don't know. Someday, in the next 15 years, that he's moving on.
Once he's killed off all of his classic characters.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also once he's, you know, closer to death. Honestly. Maybe.
Yeah,
I mean,
R.I.P.
Carrie Fisher. But
R.I.P.
Like,
Carrie Fisher.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I also think this is probably her best performance in all the movies, too. She's great in this movie.
Yeah, no, she's awesome.
Yeah, she's great.
And, I love the dialogue, too, when Han is talking to the deck officers saying... then I'll see you in hell and all that delivery. Like, those lines, that delivery.
Does
so
hell exist
good.
In the Star Wars universe?
Yeah.
Clearly it
clearly.
Does.
Yeah,
ooh.
I guess. But it,
have that question
that,
while I was
that
watching.
That line, that raw anger. I think this is just where Han was a great character in the first one, but I think he really, like, elevates and evolves in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like how Han's helping out with the rebellion, but he kind of also has his own thing going on. He's
yeah.
like, all right, you know,
yeah,
I can help you, but I've got people on my tail.
He gets so much more depth in this movie, which
yeah.
is so nice
yeah.
to see.
Well, and also I think what it is, too, is that I think what I got from is that he was helping the rebellion, and him helping the rebellion so much is finally starting to catch up with him, and he has to go take care of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they don't make him, like, I like that because they don't make him, like, this... I mean, he's a good character, but they still add this, like, side of, like, he's a scoundrel and, like, a sneaky guy because he's fighting off these bounty hunters, which
it's
I like.
Sneaky
yeah.
guy.
He's not just purely, like, a rebel soldier.
Sure.
Yeah, and I think that, I don't know, I think that's a nice progression from where you see him coming back at the end of Star Wars to be able to then move on and say that he's, like, part of this now, but then still has to deal with the consequences that he was that person. I think I see it more of less of him doing his own thing of more of him dealing with the consequences of his past life.
Sure.
And I think a lot of this movie of his character is him dealing with his past.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the Cloud City deals a lot with that.
Yeah, I think it's subtle. It's more subtle in the kind of subtle in the beginning where he has to run away, you know, and then can't. But then also, everything
totally
in Cloud City
yeah.
is just everything that he'd done prior to these movies catching up to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a very Han-centric movie.
Yeah, which I didn't like remember that
yeah.
much. Like, I hadn't seen Empire in probably, like, a year-ish. And I'll say it right now, I loved it a lot more than I remembered liking it. And I think it was probably because it focused on Han so much and split up the group, which is interesting that they split up this trio. Like, people always think about the trio always being together. But if you think about it, they're not together on screen that often.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford spent a lot of time together, but Luke is doing his own thing throughout this whole movie.
Yeah. Which is similar to the sequel trilogy, but we'll get there.
Right.
But I think that, you know, I mean, you have the Death Star scene in the original, and you have the Tatooine scene in Return of the Jedi, and that's about it, where they're all on the screen together, interacting constantly. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, if you think about it, they always have interactions with each other. And what I like also about this beginning is this is like the only time in the movies where you really see Han and Luke really have good time, screen time together. Like, I feel like the rest of the movie, they don't see each other the rest of the movie after he rescues him, and then they only are together for a short period of time in Return of the Jedi. But it's just these scenes are so impactful, and that they have such good chemistry, that Ford and Hamill have good chemistry together, that it makes you understand that even though they're kind of fighting for the same girl, even though one turns out to be her brother, that...
Which is still creepy in this movie.
Yep. Yeah. Still a little weird. Yes. But I think, I don't know, I could see Lucas going away. It's obvious that Lucas is going away from Luke and Leia.
Yeah.
Being an actual romantic couple.
Oh, and this movie, not only did it come out 3 years after the original, and it takes place 3 years
roughly
after A New Hope. So I'm sure that there's a lot of story in there that, like, we don't get to see.
Yeah.
That, like, developed their chemistry even more after the Death Star.
Well, yeah, and they've gone into that in comics and books and all that stuff, but, like...
Yeah, I read some books that went into it.
Yeah, and they, and you know, when Disney bought it, they scrapped a lot of... They scrapped all the old...
They started new,
which I like a lot of the... I'll admit that I read some of the books, and I think some of the new stuff is actually really good, but I haven't... I don't know. The time in between movies in the trilogy... In the original trilogy, I don't often go to, just because I kind of like having it just be...
The kind of ambiguity.
The progression.
Exactly.
Of the characters. But I like reading the stuff, like, prior to trilogies, between trilogies, that kind of stuff. I think that's interesting.
Yeah, I used to read all the books from the prequels.
Yeah. I feel like, I don't know why, but maybe just because the prequels aren't as good, just the additional material is more interesting to me, just because I like the time period.
No, yeah, I agree. It's true. The prequels are bad movies, but... Something just about, like,
the universe could have done
the universe, the prequels, is really fascinating.
I'll disagree with that statement that they're all bad movies, because I think one of them's actually a really good movie, but we'll get there.
Yeah. Stay tuned to find out which one.
I think you can probably guess which one it is. It's the typical one that people say. Yeah, it's the Phantom Menace. It's so good.
Attack of the Clones.
I want to point out,
that was a joke.
It's the first use of the Force pull in the scene with the Wampa when he...
That's true.
So good.
Like, we hadn't ever really seen... In the first movie, we didn't really ever see the Force used to, like, bring something to you or, like, to move objects that much.
It's true.
Which I think is interesting. So, it was, like... If you go back and watch it, the Force is constantly evolving in these movies, and I like the additions that they have.
It seemed like they just kind of... Like, they figured it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, with all the stuff on Dagobah and then... All the stuff, you know, with Vader chucking things at Luke at the end.
He got beat down by some boxes.
I kind of want to talk about Dagobah for a little bit, because when Luke is sort of after the Wampa attack, and... Okay, well, first of all, the Wampa attack, there's no blood now when he gets his arm cut off, which is inconsistent with the first one, but whatever, I'll kind of let that slide.
Yeah.
When Luke is just, I mean, he's just, like, sort of on the ground on Hoth after the attack, and Ben comes to him, like...
Love that scene.
Really?
Yeah.
What prompts that? Why does that happen?
I always assumed that it was because he's so close to dying.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what I always thought.
Giving up, then, like...
That he needs that motivation.
He's like,
get up!
That's right.
Get up!
I just saw it as, like, stupid and unprompted. Like, why did he have to be in that situation for this vision to happen?
I think
he could have been doing anything else.
I think he was near death and he was giving up on life, and that Ben saw that and knew that he needed that motivation to...
Yeah,
to try to survive. Even though he wouldn't have survived without Han. Sure. But I think that's just because they wanted Han and Luke to have some time together.
Yeah.
I can respect that. And I think, you know, Guinness was only in it for, you know, a scene or two in this movie. But I thought, we talked about it last time, I think he's as good in this movie as he was. And
it does change your perspective, though, knowing that he hates them. He hated doing the movies.
Oh, and Lucas had to do a lot. They had to pay him a lot and wine and dine him and all this stuff just to be in it for, like, a couple shots.
Yeah.
but, yeah, that's because...
Today that would be a problem.
Yeah. Because Guinness is just... pain about these movies for some reason.
Yeah.
But Guinness.
But yeah, right during this time also is when we get reintroduced to Vader, and Vader is so different in this movie.
Oh, he's a completely different character. Yeah. I think he becomes a character in this movie and not definitely just the suit. Like,
we
first of all, Imperial March.
So good.
Oh, the first shot that it appears.
This is like quintessential Star Wars when you just see Vader and you hear this theme. That's what, like, it's so powerful.
Yeah.
And so well written. Brilliantly performed. Brilliantly. Just everything about it is just amazing.
Yeah.
I also feel like there's a part where you see the back of Vader's head.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, it does happen a little later, but yeah. I mean, can we just talk about it now?
We can just talk about Vader in general.
Yeah. He definitely becomes so much more of a character, and you know, one of his admirals sees the back of his head and is like, oh, wow. Like, shoot, he's a person, and he has these scars.
Yeah, he's in his little eggshell chamber.
Where did they come from?
Yeah, he's a lot more humanized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and especially at the end, realizing that he's Luke's father.
I think I wrote this down in my notes. When do you think he knows at the beginning of this movie that Luke is his son?
His name is Luke Skywalker.
So I guess he always didn't know.
He calls him Skywalker.
I think
so
he's first like the young Skywalker who like destroyed the Death Star.
So
he probably
found out in between movies. Is probably the guess.
I assume that he knew
in the first one.
It's kind of more examining the entire Star Wars canon, understanding that like Obi-Wan definitely knew that Obi-Wan would have taken the children from Padme after she died. Because
does he know that they're still alive?
I'm sure he does. Like, I'm sure that as soon as he sees, like, there's a young kid with Obi-Wan, who he's definitely, like, training to be a Jedi, that had, like, you have to assume.
I thought he definitely knew,
or at least the Force.
In Vader's scene with Leia, I thought he definitely knew that she was his
daughter.
Yeah.
Really? I never took that.
I always read it that way. Is there something that he says that makes you think that he's not?
No, I don't know. It feels like everything in that scene, I don't think he would have acted that way. Even though Vader's so off the deep end in the dark side, I don't think he would have acted that cruelly to his daughter.
I don't think he would have.
Because if you look at the way he treats Luke.
Cuts off his son's hand.
But if you look at the way he treats Luke.
But he doesn't know that Leia has the same powers as Luke.
No,
I mean,
he doesn't.
Half the reason that he wants Luke in this movie is he says, he's like, the Emperor knows that you can destroy him, so let's rule the galaxy together. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like, oh, you should, like, just try to destroy the Emperor, I'm gonna help you. It's, I need your power to help overthrow the Emperor.
I don't see Vader in this movie as wanting Luke's power. I see it as him wanting his son.
I don't at all.
I don't see that
until Return of the Jedi, because they're still fighting until Vader makes that decision to attack
but
the...
Maybe it's part of his power, but I feel like part of it is that he wants to rule with his son. I think that's what... He wants to rule with his son. I don't think he would have been as poignant on trying to get him to join if it was just... some random person, not his son. I don't know. I saw a lot of Vader's motivation in this movie is trying to just have more of him trying to get his son.
But did you see that motivation only because I'm sure other like initially when this movie came out, people wouldn't have understood it.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know there was a lot of people when this movie ended. They were like, "Was he telling the truth?"
They were like, yeah. "Well, I mean, it's the same thing now with I mean, this is kind of." Drawing a parallel to Episode 8.
Well, there's a lot of parallels.
Spoilers for Last Jedi. Is Kylo Ren telling the truth about Rey's parents?
He definitely is.
I think he's lying.
I hope he's telling the truth.
We'll get to that discussion someday, but like, there's a lot of parallels.
Oh, yeah.
We'll point them out. There's so many parallels between the original trilogy
and
the sequel trilogy.
I mean, not especially... So, something I noticed is that Episode 7 parallels A New Hope, like mostly in plot.
Mm-hmm.
And then this just uses a lot of the same motifs, but doesn't really have a very similar plot.
What, Last Jedi to Empire?
I feel like there's
set pieces that Last Jedi borrows from the Empire.
For instance, this trench fight on Hoth, when that happened, the AT-ATs.
That's great. Yeah.
Ride,
it's straight from. Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
And then
the throne room.
The fact that Last Jedi is the movie where Rey gets trained.
Yoda showing
Luke the dark, the place that's strong with the dark side on this planet.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of we'll talk about Last Jedi how it's a lot. It's similar to Empire, but different in its own.
Yeah.
Right?
Can we talk about that part in Dagobah with the vision?
So he talks about
So do you think that like Yoda So there's, like, this place? Like, I'm just kind of confused. Like, so do you think, like, on every single planet there's, like, a place that's, like, strong with the dark side?
Dagobah.
Like, what do you, like, I don't know. Like,
no, Dagobah is, the way I take from
or
Dagobah.
Or do you think, like, Yoda, like, kind of, like, gave him this vision?
No. I think Dagobah is a very force-strong planet. There's different places that you learn throughout Star Wars that there's just different places that are strong in the force. And
so
I think Dagobah
resides there?
Yeah. I think that's right. Well, yeah, we'll talk
that's
about
true.
That. I don't think that's what it is, but I think there's so much life there.
Sure.
So much naturally occurring life that's what the Force really feeds on, and I think there was just so much naturally occurring life there that the Force was just really strong. That's why Yoda went there, because there was so... Because, like, even when Luke is pulling up to Dagobah, he's saying, like, there's so many life forms that I'm reading. It's just because there's so much life, naturally occurring life on it, that I think that's why it's so strong in the Force, which would then it would have the balance of the light and the dark there.
Hmm.
Which is the same with Octo. Octo was the place of the first Jedi temple.
Yeah,
so
right.
That's why there's so much
the sacred text.
I never like read that much into the Force or like the mythology.
Oh, really?
That's not how the Force works.
I know. I like thinking about the Force and all the different mythology around it. It's interesting.
It's very interesting.
Well, the Force's abilities aren't really defined until the prequels, right?
Yeah, there's, like we talked about, there's
it's incredibly ambiguous until, like, it starts being like, you can push, you can pull, you can, like, choke people.
I don't think there's, even in the new, there's, like, no limit to what the Force can do or change
I love that ambiguity.
Yeah,
because,
no one is ever going to fully understand it, which I like.
Force FaceTime in Last Jedi.
That's cool.
And in Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Ah, that's
but,
true.
No, but do you think that they can see? Like,
I think that's just
maybe.
That's how I got it.
I was thinking about that, but I didn't think they could see each other.
Leia definitely could see Luke's surroundings because she knew where he was.
Well, okay, so that's a different interesting thing. I want to get to that in like a little bit, but... When Vader and Luke communicated,
that's what I was thinking about.
I thought the way that it was cut together seemed very similar to The Last Jedi and Rey versus...
That's Kylo. Interesting, though. Do you think that that's how they meant for it to read, but the fact that, like, maybe it was just edited poorly, so then you couldn't, like...
I don't think it was edited poorly. I just think it was more ambiguous.
Mm-hmm. Right.
On purpose. That's I don't know. I feel like that might have been their intention, but they didn't maybe have the...
The means to do
so. Yeah, the means to make it.
That's more what I meant, but when I said, like, edited poorly, not that, like, oh, it was done bad, but, like, it was just, like...
Limitations at the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas in Last Jedi, it's very clear that it's, like, oh, they can...
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, to be honest, Bill Kylo's like, why can't I see, like, where you are?
Yeah, we'll talk... naturally, because these movies are so similar, they're going to come up, but I do want to try to stay focused on this movie rather than its connections to The Last Jedi.
Yeah. I just want to talk about Leia... like, sort of sensing Luke. Mm-hmm. So in this movie, like, we find out that she's Force-sensitive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's pretty much what that is. But then they still don't know... Or, like, so then Lucas in this movie didn't know that they were
according to
siblings.
Many people, no, he didn't know they were siblings.
But he knew that she was Force-sensitive.
I guess. I don't know.
Maybe initially they planned for it to... someone probably already knows this, but maybe the plan was just like, oh, Luke is so powerful with the Force that he can reach out to his friends. Now, because she's Force-sensitive, then we can be like, oh, well, then that makes sense. Then,
I think
they were connected.
She was supposed to be a Jedi at some point in the sequels. So I guess she was always supposed to
be... She still can be!
Yeah. I guess she was always supposed to be Force-sensitive, but this is the first time we actually see an example of that.
For sure.
But also, I want to talk about just Dagobah in general and how the... After... Which, we didn't really talk about it. Awesome fight on Hoth.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. That's so cool.
With the...
That's like... This is classic Star Wars.
Yeah.
The fight.
Harpoons. Oh, yes.
This action scene was always kind of boring to me when I was, like, 7 or 8 years old, but now, like, I don't know, for some reason,
really?
It's just a lot
I always
better.
Wanted to fly a snowspeeder.
Really?
I wanted to fly a snowspeeder more than I wanted to fly an X-Wing.
Well, this was one of my least favorite Star Wars movies when I was, like, 7 or 8 years old. I never really, it was, like, one of my, it was, like, this, Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones were, like, my three least favorite when I was a kid.
I mean, as a kid, like, I liked the prequels, like, they're nicer looking, and I was like, yay, special effects, it's colorful, it's, like, and that's
General
that's
Grievous!
Awesome.
But then we understand, and then you start to understand, like, theme and stuff like that, and character development.
So, I mean,
and writing.
Things that actually...
Good writing. Yeah,
things that actually matter.
Yeah, I never grew up watching the prequels, though. Like, I watched them later.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I always grew up watching the originals.
Oh, I watched the prequels so much when I was a kid. Yeah. Because I loved lightsaber duels.
Yeah.
That was my thing when I was a kid. I would
so
stand...
That's so action is so much better. Yeah.
What I would used to do as a kid, this is just a side note, I would turn on... Like, I've seen probably the fight at the end of Phantom Menace probably 100, 200 times. Just because I would turn it on, I would take my plastic lightsabers, and I literally learned the lightsaber duel. I learned the choreography of the lightsaber duel.
All right, Floyd, let me get a lightsaber. Yeah. We're going to go right now.
No, no. I literally learned the choreography when I was a kid of almost every single lightsaber duel in the saga in the first six movies, except for episode 3, because my parents didn't let me watch it because they thought I couldn't handle it. I went into that last time and how that wrecked my life.
Let's go for it. You need one that's double ended.
Not right now.
The other half of this one is somewhere around here.
But so yeah, I would just sit there and watch the lightsaber duels on repeat.
Yeah.
So that's really what I loved about Star Wars, like, when I was a kid. But like looking at it now, like I love the themes and I love the different interactions between the characters on the Hoth scene and also just the way that they take out the AT-ATs.
I think that's also like this kind of. I know we're trying to stay away from the sequels, but the fact that now there's going to be one that's headed by the Game of Thrones people.
Mm-hmm.
I love Game of Thrones, which I mentioned before on the podcast. Well, part of Game of Thrones that a lot of people are like, "Oh yeah, I love the dragons and like the incest." That people don't say that, but
I was gonna say I feel like people probably don't. if they do like it, they probably don't go like, "Yeah, I love the incest."
If you like the original trilogy.
Well, that's fair. Another thing that I love about Game of Thrones is, and this, to be fair, this is a lot of George R.R. Martin's writing, is the fact that there's so much, you get to see into the strategy of how these wars are, how this, like, the war for the Iron Throne is conducted. But, like, I feel like if that was, like, brought into Star Wars in the right way, it could be so interesting. And, like, it doesn't even have to be a movie. Like, it could be a standalone, like Rogue One or, like, Solo. But, I don't know. I just think that, like, actually seeing, like, how battles are, like, being conducted instead of just being like, and then we're gonna follow the Jedi and watch one lightsaber fight for, like, 10 minutes would be... much more interesting.
Well, yeah, we'll see. I wouldn't say it'd be much more interesting. I like following one character. That's kind of like I like ensemble pieces. There's plenty of great ensemble pieces, but I like how Star Wars is an ensemble with a main character.
I'm saying I think exploring the universe to that extent and doing it in the right way. I think the Game of Thrones writers are going to do a really good job.
We'll see. I mean, I'm kind of starting to say they need to slow down and take more time in between movies, but we'll get there when we get to the sequels. But yeah, back to this movie. I love the asteroid field scene, and I love the Dagobah scenes. But this is where my one problem with this movie comes up, is that the time doesn't really make sense.
It's supposed to be like 3 weeks, right?
Yeah.
That they're just sitting in an asteroid.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because if you think about
Luke's being trained.
Did
he only train for a day? Like, what happened?
See, when I watch movies, I never, like, pay attention to those small, like, continuity details or anything.
No, that's that's important.
I can't say this is my problem. Someone pointed this out in some review that I was watching and listening to.
Me too, and I was like...
And I was like, damn, you're right. Because Luke spends an extended period of time on Dagobah.
That's the thing, is like...
And they're just flying through the asteroid field.
True.
So they're flying through the asteroid field for, like, what, like 3 weeks or something like that?
I cannot imagine that was 3 weeks.
But then also there's the fact that they get to Cloud City... And Luke hasn't left yet to join them, and they are there for some time before Vader and the stormtroopers get there. Lando does say they came to me before you arrived. Did someone like come and say like, hey, we're gonna give you some money, hold these people here until Vader can get there, or like
I don't know. What? Like that. This is just the. I love everything that happens in this movie. It just in my mind, I don't understand the timing of.
Yeah, I totally didn't notice that, but that's a really good point.
Yeah,
how would Vader know that they were going to go to Cloud City because there were, like, a bunch of other places they could go, right? And he said that, like,
well,
that was
the
force!
Well, they didn't have their hyperdrive, so there was only so many systems they could go to.
I guess he just went to a couple and...
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe... No, he probably somehow knew of Han and Lando's history.
Maybe...
Vader and the Empire.
That's
maybe
true.
He sensed Leia's
maybe we'll find
force...
Out.
Yeah, I don't know.
Where she was going? Something like that?
I guess. All right, I want to raise a question about Dagobah and Yoda in particular. I know some people like don't like how crazy Yoda is.
And Luke oh my god, I so love great. That.
My question is, do you think that that's Yoda just being like crazy and kind of gone off the deep end? Mm-hmm. Or do you think that's him just trying to like put on like...
Oh, that's definitely him putting on
the... He's okay, testing.
That's
him.
What I've always thought, yes.
Because yeah. he says after that, he's like, he has no patience.
Because he
like,
immediately yeah, snaps out
He's that. Just yeah. like gone. And then you see the Yoda that we get later yeah. on.
Yoda is... In my opinion, the best Star Wars character to date.
I disagree, but
I don't know if he's
awesome.
My favorite.
I don't know if he's my favorite
of all
he's
time
awesome,
of any character ever in the Star Wars universe.
He
Yoda
is,
awesome. Is my favorite.
He is great. And I love. Yeah, I love how when he first gets there, and he's just like you know this crazy rambunctious little thing, and then all of a sudden he just snaps it, and you could. And he says it. He's like he's been watching over Luke this entire time.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And like just I love. This is the stuff in the movie that's the best to me.
Right, yeah.
I love the asteroid field stuff, but this is so much more interesting because I love the way it delves into the Force. I love Yoda's philosophy. I love his lessons.
If we ever get an Instagram, I'll post the picture of my face cropped on to Luke's body with Yoda on my back.
Great.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Okay. I love, like, there's so many amazing lines that Yoda has in this movie. There's so much... Frank Oz's
Yoda's
voice
dialogue,
is great.
Yes,
yeah.
And just the writing and the wisdom of it all is just.
Yeah,
I'm very great. Impressed by the fact that they were able to keep it that serious, considering that half of Dagobah was shot in George Lucas's swimming pool.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Well, with some dry ice.
And I want to compliment Mark Hamill a lot for this movie.
I love Mark.
Half
Hamill.
Of this movie, he's acting with nothing but a puppet.
A puppet.
Literally.
And a trash can. A person in a droid, yeah,
like how he is still able to give a fully realized performance with a puppet. Like we'll see in the prequels how some people cannot act without other people around them
Literally.
And just blue screen around
well,
them.
And even in the original, Luke trying to act with you know 3PO and R2.
Well, like, I think he. Well, those were actors. Well, 3PO.
Well, yes,
and
yeah,
Anthony
yeah.
Daniels is
a
part in the suit.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
And he is saying things instead of R2 just beeping.
I don't know, Hamill didn't do too much acting outside of these movies. Like, he did a lot of voice work, but he didn't do too much on-screen acting.
Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't get the Joker until 10 years later?
I don't know. But I don't know how long. But he did a lot of, I've never 90s, seen that yeah. show. But yeah, like, he, in these movies, at least in these first two, he does so much really good acting that I think he doesn't get enough credit for.
Yeah, and he grows so much as a character from New Hope.
Oh, yeah.
I know you don't like the
that
like,
was my
bratty opinion. Luke from New Hope.
Yeah.
But I mean, I kind of like that. It shows how much he's changed. He went from this little, like...
I agree.
Punk I think it totally fits in the title.
Yeah.
I think what's great about this movie, too, and how I talked about last movie, Luke goes on another fully formed journey in this movie.
Definitely.
Like, he still starts... Like, in the beginning of... A New Hope, he started like this bratty teen, and by the end he was like, you know, this brave person. He's still that brave person, but now he's just naive and doesn't know what he's doing mm-hmm. still. And that he finally, by the end, he gets to the point where he makes the decision to kill himself rather than join Vader, which people don't talk about enough. We'll get to that scene.
Okay, do you think he was trying to kill himself?
Yes,
or 100%
he was trying to kill himself.
Yeah,
I never viewed it in that way.
I've kind of always seen it that way since I've been like 12 or 13.
That's such a low blow for Vader,
yeah,
and like finally my son's here. Come on, Luke, join me. And he's like, nope. Bye. I'd rather kill myself than join you, which is like kind of funny, but also like super powerful for Luke's character.
Vader also makes some decent points though in his speech. Like, it's not, like, all bad.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like everyone always sees, like... There's a whole, like, series of things that say that, like, the Republic is actually, like, terrorists. And
oh,
that,
no,
like,
yeah, we'll talk about
Empire
that when we get to
is,
the...
Went to the prequels.
Yeah, when we get to the prequels.
Yeah. And I think that's super interesting because I've tried to see it, like... Because they always... Obviously, it's called The Dark Side, so you're like, oh, these are, like, the bad guys, and these are, like, space Nazis.
Yeah, they do make it very clear.
But, like, I think that Vader, like... It does make you wonder, had Luke gone with Vader and they overthrew the Empire, would things have been more peaceful?
I don't know. What's interesting about the prequels to the original is that the bad guys in the prequels become the Rebellion.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, the Separatists are the ones going against the, you know, the big Empire before it's the Empire.
Exactly.
And then they become the Rebels, which I think is interesting. But, yeah, I want to get back to these. I want to talk about this one specific scene with Yoda. I think the best scene in this movie that gets me almost as much as the twin sun scene in New Hope is the X-Wing scene. I love the way it's shot, the way it's put together, the music that kicks in.
When it rises and Yoda's just like pulling it up with the music. Oh,
that's so good. There's so many moments, like almost every single moment in this scene when Yoda initially has Luke go try, and Luke starts to rise it out of the water, and Yoda's like, shit.
Yeah.
He's actually going to do this.
He's like, what?
He was like, holy shit. And then he puts it back down. He's like, you can just see it. Somehow they like made it look like relief in his face. Like, okay, good.
Yeah, because although he would have had, like, that would have been cool, you had so much power, Yoda could have also sensed, like, okay, this could be a downfall. Yeah, he has too much ability.
Yeah, but then also I love the way it's shot of it just staying on him, Yoda giving that line to him, and then it just Luke just walking away. And I love how it just stays on Yoda, and just he just pulls it off. Oh. And the music that comes with it, and just seeing Luke come back, and it's just like, holy shit. Yeah. I don't know, every single, like, filmmaking-wise, I think this is the best scene in the movie. Best dialogue, maybe. Well, maybe the
something.
Best dialogue. There's a lot of great dialogue in this movie.
Something that made me tear up a little bit was having seen Last Jedi when they. I know we're gonna talk about this, but when
there's
a lot
of moments
when
in
there's
Last
the
Jedi that made
when
me tear up.
When you see the connection. When the connection first happens between Luke and Leia, when he's like Leia and she says Luke, and then like you see that later on and happened, and I remembered it, and I was just like, oh, like I forgot that had happened before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, we'll talk about it. I cried 4 separate times during the Last Jedi.
I was a mess during Last Jedi.
I cried like a bitch sitting directly next to my girlfriend.
I was sitting next to one of our memiest friends. And he was like, what are you doing? I was like, guys, it's like, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Every single time I saw that movie, I cried like a bitch.
The memes
we'll
are
get
real
there.
I cried for a different reason, but...
Oh, whatever. Whatever, man. Turning into Yoda over here. He's wearing green. Logan's wearing green.
I am wearing green. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, this whole Dagobah section is one of the best sequences, I think,
in all of
Star Wars.
Series,
and it's just why Yoda is just my favorite character of all time.
And I also wanted to talk about real quick, I love this scene with the Emperor in this
finally, the Emperor, right?
Emperor.
In A New Hope, you had, like, freaking Grand Moff Tarkin pulling Vader's strings, and, like, now it's the Emperor, and, like, shit
oh my
is
God.
Getting real.
Well, what I love about the Emperor in the original trilogy is that he's only mentioned in the first one. You get just a little scene with him. He's always there without being on screen.
He's the Phantom Menace in the original trilogy.
And then finally in Return of the Jedi,
he's always there.
He's
the villain, but he's always there, but he's just sort of this idea.
Which I think is great
until,
in this movie and the first movie.
I was going to say, until
the throne room.
Until the sequels came out, he was in every movie.
He was not in A New Hope.
Oh, he wasn't?
No.
Didn't they add him back in with, like, a transmission or something?
Nope.
Mm-mm. What am I thinking of?
I don't know what you're thinking
weird.
Of. No, they changed this transmission scene. He looked different. If you've seen the original version, looks so bad.
Okay.
It looks so stupid. It's like this guy wearing, like, this mask with, like, this weird makeup on it. It looks really bad.
Wait, when Vader's talking to him?
Like, and there's a different voice, too.
No,
like,
no, okay, really... I was thinking that, because I watched it, and I was like, that does not sound like the Emperor at all.
No, it's not Ian McDowell.
Oh my God, is this it?
Yep. It looks so stupid.
Yes.
It looks so bad.
I was watching it, and I was like, why do his eyes look like that?
Yeah.
We'll also post this on the Instagram once we get that set up, because that is amazing.
Yeah, it's really, like, just looking at, like, that difference, it's so much better. And you can tell that's all. Also, I think that's definitely Ian McDermott from... Revenge of the Sith, but still.
Yeah.
Do you think it's still him?
Oh no, that's definitely McDermott. McDermott does almost everything.
Look at the original mask.
Yeah, no.
I'm sorry. This is an audio podcast, but you can at least hear our reactions. I'll save this picture so that we.
Yeah, if you guys know, if you guys are Star Wars fans and know what he looked like originally, he looked stupid. But it's whatever. I think the scene, the dialogue and everything that's going on, like the power struggle you can feel, You see Vader kneel. Like, even though, like, Moff Tarkin had him on a leash last movie, he never really, like, you know, showed that submission to anyone.
Yeah.
But he kneels in front of this guy, and that tells you just how powerful he is. Especially when you see Vader just picking his own guys off left and right for a little screw-up. Just like, nope, you're
dead. He does a lot throughout this movie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Failed me for the last time.
Floyd, you were asking who the original Emperor was. It was Clive Revel. Okay. I don't know how you pronounce his name, but it's this guy.
Reville?
I
guess.
I don't know.
Reville. But no, also I wanted to talk about, just because it was so cute and so nice looking. It was so cute. When R2-D2 initially was, when they were in Dagobah, I've missed this note, I wanted to talk about it. When Luke and Yoda are in the hut, and R2 just getting poured on, and he like peeks his head in the window. Oh my god, so my heart melted a little bit. It was so cute.
No, when he's in the water and his little like head pops up. Oh,
R2's really cute.
He's adorable. Okay, he's like...
The little,
he's in
like,
Periscope.
What is he in?
What? Oh, the water. Yes, when he falls in the water. Yes.
There's a T in that word, yes. But okay.
Yeah, I love R2 when he's not with C-3PO.
And what I love about this movie also, too, like, you see R2 and Luke's relationship somewhat in the first movie, and you get it, but in this movie, you can tell that they're actually friends.
It's a nice bonding time.
Yeah, they're actually friends, which I think adds a lot to R2 and, Luke. Because he still has a friend, like, even though the three aren't there, he still has a friend with him in R2, which is... Mm-hmm. R2 sees a lot. We'll talk about this. R2 knows a lot about everything in this movie, and he keeps his mouth shut.
Well, I mean, most of the characters in this movie can't understand him, all except one.
Well, no, if we look at the prequels, R2 knows that Luke's Vader's kid. And he does not tell him.
That's true.
He does not tell him. He does not tell him shit.
R2, you bitch.
R2 does not tell him jack shit. And we'll talk about it. Like, there's some toys that are like, R2's a dick. He did not tell him anything.
That's crazy.
Anything.
It's okay, it's hysterical. Gosh. But I think that's just a plot hole. I don't think they actually meant for that to happen.
That's amazing.
But, R2. Yeah. Yeah, I love the cave scene here on Dagobah. I love...
Oh my gosh, the cave scene is so good. When I saw this as a kid, it just went over my head, and I was like, what the heck is this face inside a mask?
Wait, you didn't realize it was Luke's face?
No.
Really?
I was like, watched this when I was like 4 or 5, and I was like, what is this? Watching it now, it's so, like, it just, oh my gosh, the slow-mo when they pull out the lightsabers.
Yeah, that's great. So powerful. I love how it's like a dream. You can tell it's a dream.
It's terrifying. You just see Vader turn that corner, like,
just, oh my gosh.
It was like literally like my nightmares as a child, like Vader chasing me.
Oh, I had
stairs.
Nightmares about the Wampa when I was a child.
The Wampa?
Yeah, the Wampa scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. I was like, literally, like, I woke up screaming one night, my parents came in, like, what happened? I was like, the Wampa ate me.
Nothing from Star Wars has ever, like, scarred me.
No, Wampa's like the only thing that scarred me.
No, yeah.
Scared the crap out of me. To be fair, Geonosians are pretty weird.
Yeah. But,
Well, I think like Anakin slaughtering the kids in Revenge of the Sith was kind of my
Jar Jar.
I cannot wait to talk about the prequels. I'm so excited to talk about the prequels. But
I'm mostly excited to watch the prequels again because I haven't watched them in
6 years.
It's
I mean
been
even
like
the originals has been a while.
I, almost every time there's a new Star Wars movie comes out, I just rewatch the old movie. So it's been about a year since I rewatched them.
I can respect that.
But yeah, also right after the cave scene is when we get introduced to the bounty hunters. IG-88,
Bosk.
It's not Dengar. This is not Boba Fett's first appearance.
It is not.
Anyone know what it is?
Yeah, it's in the special edition, I know. In episode 4.
No.
In the holiday special.
Star Wars holiday special.
Not canon, I'm
is
ignoring
Boba Fett's first, chronologically release order, it's Boba Fett's first appearance.
Yeah.
Although he was added back into A New Hope,
in
the remastered edition.
Okay. Yeah. For what? Mos Eisley.
Yeah,
Mos Eisley
is
right as they're leaving.
With Jabba. It just kind of pans to him. He's just like,
and he looks at the camera.
Oh my gosh.
There's a lot of people.
That's why
we didn't really
watch the new ones.
Yeah, we didn't. Oh, I think the special edition of this movie is actually really good.
This one is.
Yeah,
but the first one.
The special they changed a lot more in the special edition for the original, which we didn't really talk about that much. We didn't really talk about the differences. But like this movie, what they changed was they fixed the Emperor. They fixed Cloud City. Cloud City. If you watch the original versions, there was no windows. It was just a set.
Huh.
With no windows, you never really saw the out, like, and it's a lot better.
Well, you saw the matte paintings.
Yeah,
you
saw the matte paintings, but you did not see, like, you know, a lot of the detail.
Interesting.
And there wasn't many windows, which is, I think it's a lot better. And, like, there's just little stuff like that they changed in this movie. There was even more change. Like, this is the one they changed the least, but I think we're all correct changes.
Yeah, definitely.
And also just, you know, general special effects stuff.
General special effects.
But, I guess we can... Real quick, I mean, the asteroid field, they got chased around. Fun dialogue, I don't know if there's, like, too much to talk about.
Fun time!
Not really.
Yeah, I like
it. Goes on a little long for my taste.
I like the whole, how the hole is like actually
the space an animal. Yeah, mouse. I think that's fun. So you didn't like that?
No, I mean I like the twist. I don't think the special.
There's just such good chemistry with any of the scenes with Han and Leia.
Oh so man, that scene when they were fixing Ham. With saying, you know, how her hands are dirty, like so are mine.
So am I.
I don't know. I love the Luke.
I kind of just found a lot of Han and Leia scenes kind of creepy.
Really?
When he's like convincing her and he's like, admit it. He's like, no.
I don't know. But
did it remind you of that scene in Blade Runner?
No, it did not. I know what scene you're talking about. Yeah. No, it did not. That's very different.
Yes.
I know.
He did not rape her. Like in Blade Runner. But no, I love the scene we didn't talk about in the beginning after Luke gets out of the back to tank and he's like, she revealed her true feelings for me. I don't know. I just feel like that was like Han's like...
Oh yeah, and then she goes over and kisses her brother.
Yes.
And there's a little... I don't know if you guys noticed this. It was a string of little... like. Just a string of spit after.
Oh, really? No, I've never noticed that. That's gross.
It was so bad. I was like, ew. There was just like a little string of spittle after the incest kiss. Oh, and also it's an incest kiss.
I can't really defend that.
But I love I mean, with Carrie Fisher, I mean, I'd be okay with it, but you know.
If she was your sister?
Yeah.
Oh my god. I'm kidding. Okay. Bring it back.
Yeah, we're just gonna pretend you didn't say that.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
No, but yeah, I don't know, just throughout this movie, I love all the development of Han and Leia's romance. And I think the love theme is so good. Han Solo and the princess. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many songs in this movie that are, like, the asteroid field music is great.
Yeah. Just the music alone can bring me to tears.
Yeah. Oh no, the music's great.
I don't think the Star Wars franchise would be anywhere as good as it is without John Williams.
We talked about that last time.
It wouldn't be the same at all.
No, yeah, and like I said last time, I still think Episode 4's score is better, just because every single song in that score is.
I don't know. I actually think Empire score might definitely be better because it's the first time we get the Imperial March. We get this Yoda's Han theme. And Leia theme.
I don't think that's necessarily that New Hope's score is better, but just like some of the images that are paired with the score, like the twin suns, are just so much like
sunset.
Emotion.
Yeah,
behind it. Yeah,
I don't know. I listen to more of the, more of A New Hope's score more often. But no, I love Empire's is definitely my second favorite Star Wars score. But yeah, it does have some amazing, like the Yoda's theme and Yoda and the Force. Those two on Dagobah are perfect pieces of music. I love them a lot. And I guess we can get to Cloud City now.
Cloud City. Lando. Yeah.
Lando is so fun.
One of my favorite Star Wars
I cannot, characters. Just watching this movie, I cannot
wait. Oh, Donald Glover is going to be so good.
I'm so excited for Donald Glover.
He's the part of that movie that excites me the most.
Yeah, when I went to see Black Panther and the Solo trailer came up, I was just like, they need to show more.
I want to see like him talk. No, yeah.
Awesome. He better be in that movie a lot because he's going to be the best part of that movie.
I know.
Because Alden Ehrenreich, you know, he looks fine. He looks fine. But, like, there's no way he's going to live up to Harrison Ford. But I could definitely see Donald Glover living up to
Oh, Billy he's going to improve the role.
He might.
I bet he will.
He might just because he looks so awesome.
Watch when Solo comes out, I'm going to eat those words.
Yeah, I was going to say. Maybe it'll turn out that he sucks in the movie. Yeah. But still.
I mean.
He's the reason I'm excited.
In Spider-Man, he wasn't. Anything special.
Why was he even,
he had a tiny part in Spider-Man.
I think he just wanted to.
No, he was in Spider-Man because
he was Miles Morales.
He was the inspiration for Miles Morales.
But it was just so poorly written, that scene.
Oh, I like that scene. I like Spider-Man.
It was small, it didn't distract.
He was just
anyway,
like,
back to Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. Oh, yes. So this opening scene, or the first scene on Cloud City, I just love the way Lando plays with Han.
Yeah.
And you can tell that he's like partly kidding but also partly being
right,
serious.
It's an instant power dynamic that we get to see right away.
Yeah. And honestly, it scenes like this that I love not knowing, which is why
I don't want to know how you got the Millennium Falcon. Yeah. I don't want to know all these like stuff that happened in the past.
Like, so I might like Solo, but I don't want to know. I like that it's ambiguous.
Yeah, there's so much fun with the ambiguity.
Yeah. And they're...
See, I'm the exact opposite. When I hear those things, I'm like, well, now I need to know. How did it happen?
Yeah, I mean, certainly I'm that way with certain
The original trilogy just, like, places you just in this point in time, and I just love that, how it mentions all these things. things. Well, I'm glad that it's so taken, ambiguous.
I'm glad that it's taken so long for us to circle back around to finally know, like, okay, this is how it happened. Well, that they weren't just like, and now a flashback to Lando and Han. Like,
yeah, they don't really have flashbacks in Star Wars.
Yeah.
But I...
And when they do, it's like 10 years later in a completely new movie.
Yeah, we keep getting off track, but I do want to mention, they made Solo because they thought it was going to make money. They didn't make it because they were like, oh, we want to make this great story with this new version of Han. I don't think it was. A lot of Disney's motivation, I feel like, is just stuff that will make money. Maybe besides Rogue One. Rogue One kind of was a different concept.
That was to fill a plot hole.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't even say a plot hole, just to tell a story. But, like, I feel like...
to waste my time.
I liked Rogue One.
I love Rogue One. Yes. But, yeah, right intercut with this was when Luke is leaving Dagobah. And that scene when Luke is leaving Dagobah and just the lighting, the lighting of when the X-Wing goes up and it's just Yoda and Obi-Wan and saying no.
The red that comes over him when he says,
oh my god, it is amazing. It's
so cool.
The red light. Very well done. And I love the line, like, and it's so ambiguous, like we talked about.
That boy is our last hope.
Like, who are they talking about? Because, like, they don't know that... I don't think they know that Leia's Force-sensitive.
Mm-hmm. They don't.
And, like, in the context of Star Wars, they're talking about Leia, obviously.
Right.
But like, when Lucas, they made this movie, who was he talking about?
Didn't you say last time that Lucas initially wanted to introduce, like, a brand new character in the final one?
Yeah, he did want to introduce a new character.
But then they just decided to do Leia.
Yeah. But, like, I don't know. I'm always interested to, like, think, like... Just in the context of Star Wars, maybe with, like... Like Rey and other characters like that, could they be talking about like there could be someone in the future, or are they just talking about?
That's
Leia?
The thing, though. Is Luke the chosen one?
I don't want to get into that debate in this movie. We can talk about the stupidity of the chosen one when we get to the prequels.
The chosen one. I like to think that it was.
But no, yeah, and this is also I think great acting from Alec Guinness and Frank Oz. Just their short little interaction after Luke leaves.
Yeah. Yeah. I just love their dynamic. Like they don't really get a ton of time together. No, I mean, obviously not ever in person.
Yeah,
but yeah.
And I think like what's so great about this movie, you know, between Lando and Han, Obi-Wan and Yoda, is that you see just from the interactions between these people that haven't been on screen together before that they have such good chemistry that you can tell there's a history there.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also one inconsistency: Yoda didn't train Obi-Wan, but whatever.
He might have at some point. I mean, granted, it was Qui-Gon.
Yeah, that's what I'm
primarily
saying.
Trained him, but he could have when he was younger.
Yeah, that's likely.
I mean, he said, remember how I was when I first came to you? It could have started out with Yoda and then gone to Qui-Gon when he was training to become a master.
Because we see scenes of Yoda training, like, young kids, I believe.
But also, the only time in this movie where I think it's a little plotting is maybe in the asteroid field for a little bit, even though I was always entertained. I think there was maybe like one too many scenes of them just walking around Cloud City.
Cloud City is one of my favorite parts about this movie.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, I like it, but I just
love like the setting and the sets and how it's all white. It's just so beautiful, and they're just floating in the sky with the orange.
The suns awesome. And all those shots are awesome. Like, I think the scenes of them actually walking around there might have been like one too many.
If I was going to live on, like, one, like, planet in Star Wars, like, to set up shop, I think it would be... I think I would choose Bespin.
Heck yeah.
And live on Cloud City.
Heck yeah.
That or Coruscant, just because Coruscant is popular.
Coruscant is
trashy. I mean,
Coruscant. I would take Dagobah as long as Yoda's there, because I just want to
hang out with Yoda. Team, but have him teach you. I mean, depending on the timeline, could hang out with him on Coruscant, and it would be a lot cleaner.
True.
Now, Coruscant's gross, too, if you watch, like, the...
Not if you were hanging with the Jedi.
Yeah, I guess. Agreed. So. But, But no, yeah, and I love, after we get through those scenes, I love that Han immediately starts shooting at Vader when he sees him. That just shows how much of a badass Han Solo is.
Yeah, that's not in the version that I saw.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that you don't get Vader inviting him to dinner?
We get that scene, but we get that part where they just stare at each other, then the doors close.
Really?
That part makes me laugh a little bit, how Vader's just like standing at the dinner table, and he's like... Won't you join us? I'm like,
Dad.
Like, that's a little too much. Like,
meeting the father-in-law.
Mm-hmm. It's very on the nose.
Yeah, I think that's a funny meet the
I also,
scene.
Or for Leia meeting her dad and the dad of the boy she's.
Yeah, not to make another comparison to Last Jedi, but between Benicio del Toro's character and Lando, how they both, obviously they're different, but Lando kind of. betrays Han and goes along with the Empire, and that's something that Benicio del Toro does. He kind of plays both sides.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and I love Lando's character. I think that he's complex, and you can tell, like, I don't know, I don't really blame Lando for, like, he did what he had to do as the...
I don't think he had a choice.
Yeah, he didn't really have a choice. Like, if Vader and his garrison of stormtroopers show up, like, you're gonna do this, or we're gonna kill everyone here.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, yeah, like, he didn't really have a choice.
Yeah.
Which I think Leia realizes by the end.
Yeah.
When Chewie's choking him. Yeah. And he switched the controls on the carbon freeze.
Yeah, like, he did what he could.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, also at the same time, he wasn't gonna risk the life of every single person on Cloud City for Han.
Yeah.
Even though he was his friend. But, yeah, I think that another great scene in this movie is when Han is being frozen. Just the whole build-up to it, the music of it.
We get one of the greatest lines of all time.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
Well, the greatest exchange.
Everyone, okay, I feel like everyone knows it, but I'll still say it, that line was ad-libbed.
Yeah.
The I love you, I know is ad-libbed. That was just something Ford just did in a take. I feel like most people know that, but still, it works perfectly.
He didn't just, like, do it on the spot. I think he told Lucas, he was like,
because he hated the...
Because he was like, that's not Han's character.
Yeah.
He said, he would say, I know. But yeah.
Yeah.
He did come up with that.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome.
I think this is a brilliant scene if C-3PO weren't on Chewie's back screaming for all of it.
Turn me around!
I can't see!
Yeah. It distracts so much. And, like, I don't know, maybe they wanted him there for comic relief, but, like, that scene does not need comic relief. That scene is hard and, like, emotional.
Yeah. Yeah, I get saying that C-3PO kind of detracts from that scene.
I think he's overbearing. I mean, I think in the rest of the movie he doesn't really have that, he's not really distracting
I like
much.
Him in the asteroid field.
As much. Yeah.
When I thought of you when Leia goes, shut up.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's what Logan's saying right now, probably.
Yeah.
But I love everything in the scene except 3PO's fine.
Yeah. I think his whole bit is like when he walks into the stormtrooper place and I think it just kind of took too much time, like 3PO trying to fix him, and I don't know.
Which, by the way, from Leia's perspective, that's rough. Admitting I love you to Han and saying,
yeah,
I know.
It's like, damn, okay, thanks. Yeah, that's whatever.
I think based on Ford's acting, you can really tell that he wants to say it back, but he's just
can't.
Right. He sort of has a shell,
yeah.
And I mean, Lando's there and Vader, I guess.
Yeah. But yeah, I had this written in my notes here. When does Vader know what? Especially talking about, like, so does he, if he knew that Leia was his daughter, is that why he wanted to take her with him?
Maybe?
I guess that would make sense.
Or he knows that she's just Force sensitive.
She's one of the leaders of the Rebellion, too.
I guess maybe just that she's a leader of the Rebellion.
Mm-hmm, right, same reason he wanted in the last
one. Does he know that Leia's his daughter? I kind of don't think so.
I don't know.
Because he goes, and in Return of the Jedi, he goes, sister, so you have a sister.
Yeah.
So I don't think that he knows that Leia's his daughter, but I feel like I don't know. He knew they were twins, weren't they? Doesn't he know that?
I don't know if he knew that he had a child.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he knew that they were twins.
Yeah, it's been too long. I just can't remember.
I guess we'll find out when we watch Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
I'm so glad we're not ending on that now. Can you imagine if we finished our Star Wars series with, like, and then Revenge of the Sith happened?
I disagree. But, yeah, okay, Logan, one of your big problems with the last movie was the lightsaber duel, and I think this one is
and
a
we
lot
get this
better.
One.
It is so much better. I think, in general, they just really, like, figured out what they were doing in this movie. Like, they weren't, like, you know, they had some experience, and they were probably like, huh, yeah, that looked really bad, but here's how to make it better.
You
and then they
like,
did. There was still no music.
You didn't like
the
cloak
music.
Falling down. You didn't like that fight?
I thought it was fine, but like the actual fight itself was just so boring.
No, yeah, this is an awesome lightsaber duel.
Mm-hmm. A lot of emotion,
tension.
I like how you can kind of see although like they're both going at it, you can see like Darth Vader obviously using all his like anger
just,
rage. He's just smacking. He's going at it.
He's smacking him, but also at the same time, he's just screwing around.
Yeah, he like pushes him over and doesn't do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he, at the beginning, he's literally just doing one hand, just like block, 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 block.
Well, I mean, also because his motive is, you know, to get him joined.
Not to kill him like Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan he wanted revenge on, but this he just wanted.
I mean, there's also.
So, I mean, Vader's fighting style makes more sense in this because if he wanted to kill him in the last one, he should have done it, like, I don't know, when Obi-Wan was doing a stupid spin around move. But
that's
true. Ah, yes.
But whatever. But yeah, I like that when he was just going to ignore all your attacks on them.
Really just slow. But in this one, it makes sense.
And yeah, I think he's also impressed by Luke. Like, he says that, like, when he's, like, going at him and he falls down that. When he falls off the carbonite thing, and you know you can tell Luke actually for some like he underestimated him and he got an overhand at first,
Luke
and then Vader,
run.
And then from there Vader was just upper like, "All right, I'm not messing with
him." You went ham.
Yeah.
You said upper hand and he cuts off his hand.
Hey.
But then there's also something that I was gonna say a couple minutes ago, which was the fact that. It was hard for Vader to see out of his mask during filming, so most of the shots are done when without his helmet on. That's why you don't see the back of Vader's head, so that he can actually like fight and not just be like swinging blindly at Luke.
Okay, interesting thing too here about
Mark Hamill
about you know the "I am your father" scene, which is great.
Interesting
thing.
Always misquote that line.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Nope.
I am your father.
Yeah. What's interesting about this scene?
I'll be back.
Is that, okay.
No, continue.
I'll tell this story real quick. But the only people that knew were Lucas, Kirshner, Kasdan, and Hamill. Those were the only four people that knew. And the three creative people, you know, not on the screen, gave fake versions of the script to everyone else that said, "No, Obi-Wan killed your father." All right, that's not needed right now.
I never told you what happened.
Okay, I'm going back to the story. No, they gave to every single other character, including Prowse, because they knew Prowse would blab because Prowse has a reputation of just doing whatever he wants to do to get attention. They gave Prowse and everyone else a line that said, "Obi-Wan killed your father."
Yeah.
And that was the big twist. But Hamill, they gave the actual version of the script to Hamill so that he could have that in his character
the
entire
actual
movie.
Reaction. Yeah.
And no, in his character throughout the whole movie. Yeah. And they said, "It's us three. We're telling you, if this gets out, we know who did it."
I was gonna say, I thought that they did it like right before, like they filmed it.
No, Hamill knew the entire time.
Okay.
No one else.
Because then they dubbed over with James Earl Jones, obviously.
Yeah. No, and after that, they told like you know James Earl Jones had to say the line, but they only told him when they had to, and then just because this was like unprecedented territory, like there'd never been a sequel like this before, and also like there was like constant people trying to get scoops on what was going to happen, and they just constantly like this was the first time you had to avoid spoilers. And I don't know. I think that's interesting that. Which would have been an interesting twist too, that Obi-Wan killed Luke's father.
That would
have
been
an interesting
twist.
Yeah, but no, I think I just think it's funny too that Prowse is such a blabbermouth that day.
Yeah. Well, okay. Also, something about this line is when Luke goes, "You told me that Obi-Wan told me that you killed my father," and then he goes, "No, I am your father." When shouldn't the emphasis be on "am"?
I am.
Your like
father.
Instead of.
Oh. Sure.
Like, "I killed your father, I am your father." But then he says, I don't know. It's just, doesn't
maybe,
make a ton of sense.
Maybe, but yeah, I don't know. I never really thought about that.
It does seem
never really
like,
bothered me.
It does seem like James Earl Jones kind of got the dialogue and was like, okay, I'll say this line without knowing what came before it.
Yeah.
Dang it, James Earl Jones.
I don't know. I like
he's
that
great,
exchange.
Though. I love you, James Earl Jones.
Yeah,
come on,
great.
Chess.
Great.
Yeah.
You're great.
Right, we're gonna get copyrighted now because of that.
No, we're not. Are you shitting
it's
me?
Parody purposes.
Also, no one listens to this.
Yeah, true.
That's true.
But yeah, like we talked about earlier, I love how Luke tries to kill himself, and I definitely see it as him trying to kill himself.
Yeah, that's cool. I never read it. That makes sense.
Because you know, it's just so powerful. Like Luke going on this journey for the first two movies, becoming a Jedi, and then it just being like him maturing enough to the point where he's like, "I'm not gonna go with him. I'm gonna kill him. It's better for the galaxy and for my friends that I die."
And you can see that. No, it's kind of a ridiculous line. You know, "That's impossible." That part.
I actually
but,
like Hamilton.
I mean, like I don't mind it. It's kind of ridiculous, but then you can see like the absolute like tearing. He's like, "I'm just not gonna do this. I'm out."
Yeah, I think it's it's starting to show Luke maturing. And it was, like, Luke had two options there. He could jump or he could join him. And I like it shows how much of a hero he is that he chose to, he chose everything around him instead of himself.
Yeah.
Which, like I talked about last movie, I love Luke as a character and I love his progression throughout this trilogy. And in this movie, too, like I said about last movie. But, yeah, I like Han's frozen in carbonite at the end of this movie. Luke just lost a hand.
Yeah, because they know that there's going to be another movie. Like, yeah. They didn't try to wrap it up, really.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't know if Harrison Ford was coming back.
Well, yeah, they didn't, because Harrison Ford initially wanted Han to die in this movie.
Please!
He wanted to die in the carbonite, just because he was ready to move on with his career. But I still think, in the next two movies that he's in, he's still great in both of them. But, But yeah, no, I like how this movie was just like, nope, we're just gonna literally put the rebels in like the worst place possible.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is also kind of where Last Jedi leaves them.
Yeah,
that's true.
But well, it's because of parallel. Yeah. But I like how, we have a different crew kind of now. We have Lando replacing Han. Lando and Chewie are going off. Han and Luke and Leia are just kind of like stuck there recovering from everything that happened. Like, I don't know. I think this was the movie that kind of, first of all, showed how you do a sequel. Second of all, says you don't need to have a happy ending.
Yeah. And it doesn't it's not like a huge cliffhanger, but it just leaves so many opportunities for some great, great new things.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So I don't know. Is there anything else you guys wanted to talk about?
Look through my notes.
I think we pretty much hit everything. It's unlike last time, we're actually in agreement today.
Yeah.
So,
for sure.
So I guess we'll go ratings and final thoughts, Brendan.
Oh, Logan, I didn't know if you found anything else.
No.
You good? Okay.
Yeah, ratings.
Cool. All right. So, like I said last time, I've been watching the Star Wars movies for a very long time. This is my favorite. It has always been my favorite. I love the fact that this is the sequel that everyone references when they're talking about how to make a good sequel, because to be honest, it is by far better than the original movie, and it's one of the only films that I've ever seen do so. I think the fact that it doesn't leave these characters in the perfect place, it brings so much more to the table that, it's not just an intermediary film, to bridge the gap between Luke being on Tatooine and blowing up the Death Star to destroying the Emperor and Return of the Jedi. So much happens in it, and so much actually affects the universe that there's no way that I'm not giving this an A+, because I love The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, huge Star Wars fan. This is not only the best Star Wars movie by far, but in my opinion, one of the greatest movies ever made.
It's awesome.
It's so much fun. It's great to watch, but at the same time, it's also a really well-made movie with complexity with its characters, great writing. It just had so many classic, memorable moments. It's the film that the original trilogy is my childhood. I always, when I think about my earliest memories are this film. It's cemented my love for movies. It's an A+ all the way.
There's so much in this movie that they figured out what they were doing more, and it's just overall just a better made movie. I'd say episode 4 seems like it's sort of Star Wars, but if you tried to make Star Wars without having the rights to any of the things that are cool about Star Wars, this is like AT-ATs and that amazing trench fight on Hoth. You have the Imperial March finally. You get Yoda on Dagobah. You have the Emperor finally showing up. The whole Bespin saga and Boba Fett. This is what Star Wars is to me. And this is, I feel like, where Star Wars as a series really takes off, and it's just it gets so far beyond where A New Hope was that I just think it's miles ahead. It's got to be an A.
I enjoy this movie a lot more than I remembered. I know I said in the last movie that Episode 4 is my favorite Star Wars movie, and it's my favorite movie. Period. I liked this movie a lot more than I remembered. And I don't think I like it as much as Star Wars, but it's definitely now, watching it with a critical eye, it's definitely in consideration. Like, I'm definitely kind of reconsidering if Star Wars or Empire is better. I love this movie. They're both... I love both of these movies. I love them both individually. I love them both, you know, together as part of the saga. I love Luke's journey in this movie. I love Han's journey in this movie. I love the evolution of Vader. So much, so many cool set pieces, many cool shots. So well directed, well written. So yeah, I think going into rewatching it, I was anticipating giving it an A minus or an A because of that continuity problem. But watching the movie, I didn't really notice it. It's only kind of something that I think about after I watch the movie. So I think I'm going to give this an A plus as well. It is, yeah, I mean, it's up there with Star Wars as one of my favorite movies ever, period. So yeah, I love Empire and I love Star Wars kind of, I don't know. I think I like Star Wars more, but they're almost on the equal playing field for me in terms of how much I like them. So we will be back next week with Return of the Jedi, wrap up of the original trilogy, and then we're going to go into one or two of our picks, just that we're going to watch a random movie and review it.
Yes.
My pick is going to be the new Alex Garland movie, Annihilation, which will be either our first or second individual review.
Depending on.
And then we will be back to the prequels. Yeah. So depending on timing, well, that's what we'll be doing next. So, yeah, thanks for listening, guys.
Come on the show,
everyone. John Williams.
John Williams. Everyone. Mark Hamill.
Anyone involved in Star Wars. Like
Billy D. Billy D.
Yeah, come on the show. All
right.
So, yep, thanks, guys. Once again, I'm Ryan.
I'm Brendan.
I'm Matt.
I'm Logan.
See you guys.
Join us next time as we review The Emoji Movie. I haven't done that in the last few episodes.
You haven't?
Yeah, that's true. That's
Are you proud of me?
I'm
kind of, yeah.
I just relapsed.
All right, good. Bye. See you guys.
See you.